You're listening to the ISACA podcast. In this From Page to Podcast episode, we're speaking with Steve Ross, author of the ISACA Journal Volume 4 article, Someone Else. In this episode, we're discussing the growing role of third-party programs in IT and the implications of the data center moving. So to begin, Steve, your article opens up by saying that running an IT department used to be so simple. What changed?
Well, the whole point of the article is that everything has been outsourced. Everything is either now or soon will be in the hands of someone else. And so we're placing our reliance as IT professionals on other people. A tremendous amount of the control structure that we have built over the decades is now open for question. In particular, I'm focusing on IT operations in this article, but it applies to development and implementation and tech support and all the rest as well.
And what's the impact of selecting third-party services with little or no input from IT teams?
That's exactly the point I'm making, is that over the decades that we've had professional IT departments in organizations, with the support, I must say, of IT security people, IT auditors, risk managers, the general ISACA constituency, that there has grown up to be a set of controls that have made IT operations in particular, that's really the focus here, consistent with the goals and objectives of the organization. When you say to somebody, well, you know, go out and buy your own systems, no big problem. Without that background knowledge, experience, and community of thought that has, as they say, has grown up, you're exposing the organization one at a time, rather than having this group of professionals who understand how to control the information system. What I focus on in this article is something that I call the disappearing data center. The most important, I think, is the biggest difference, maybe put it that way, because it's not new that we've gone out, outsourced critical applications and development and so on. When we used to do that, it would run in our data center. Now it's running in some data center somewhere that the buyer will probably never get to see, knows nothing about, and has no control over. Even in some cases, when they go out and do use a co-location facility, which they do see, they do know and have some control over, their day-to-day ability to ensure that the safeguards that they want to have in place are actually there has become attenuated.
So where did the data center go?
Well, where did it go? It went into my pocket, for one thing, your pocket too, your briefcase. Or I don't know if you carry a briefcase, maybe it's a backpack or a pocketbook. It went into a commercial facility where the real estate aspect of IT is divorced from the utilization of IT. The whole idea that we have to have our own data center and our own special cadre of people to care and feed it, to take care of the power, to take care of the climate control, to make sure that fires get put out, to make sure that nobody gets in if they're not allowed. It's just said, okay, why don't we turn that over to somebody who does that as a full-time job, and we'll just run the business of creating and using technology. All of which I don't disagree with. Don't misunderstand. I think that's actually a positive. But there were certain controls that we had built up and came to rely upon that aren't there anymore. And consciousness of that has to rise up, not only within the IT function, which I think is very conscious of it.
So why did organizations in the past want to have a single base of information and contain IT? And were they able to achieve this?
Well, let's start with the last question first. No, it never has actually happened, but we've moved closer. There's a separate field that ISACA probably ought to interest itself in called data management, which is different than database management. It's the management practice of trying to achieve what they call a single point of truth, that there is only one. If you want to look up somebody's name, a customer's name or an employee's name or whatever name that is, there's only one name somewhere in the organization. Instead, what most organizations have, and let's even just take customers. Customers show up in a customer relationship management file. They show up in a billing file. They show up in an inventory file. They show up in a product file. They show up in lots and lots of places. And it's not easy to tell that it's the same customer all the time. Am I Steve Ross, Stephen Ross, Stephen with a V, Stephen with a PH, Stephen J, Stephen J-A-Y? That is my middle name. They're all the same person, but we don't know that. So in the attempt to reach what is called canonicals, this idea that we would have a single point at which we would have all the information was a goal. Admittedly, a difficult, in fact, impossible to reach goal, but nonetheless aspirational. It was there. Now we've pretty much abandoned that. We'll have our data wherever we have our data, and we'll use it however we want to use it. And that's that, because we go to so many different vendors for so many different things. So that make it really easy. I mentioned employee name. There'll be an employee name in the HR files, and we use one service for HR, and then we pay this person, and we use a different service for payroll, and then we have to make sure that his or her taxes are being reported correctly, and we do that in yet a third place. You see what I'm getting at? Whereas once upon a time, this was something that was not only, as I say, an aspirational goal, but something that we were trying to get to because there were controls that we needed to make sure that all these things were complete and accurate. Now, we've pretty much walked away from it.
So why isn't this just an issue of vendor management? What else is a concern?
Well, first of all, it is a vendor management issue. Let's not lose sight of that. But it's a consistency issue, number one. So that we're treating all the vendors the same way. And number two, and probably more important, is that it's a control issue, that we have a set of controls that were in place because we had ownership and custody of the assets that we now no longer have. It's not our data center anymore. It's still our data, but we do own it, but we don't have it. It's not our programs anymore. We rent them. We use them as a service. And it's not even our people anymore. So we don't have the opportunity to hire them, monitor them, if necessary, fire them, or better, let's put it this way, promote them for doing their jobs very well. It's not that I'm this reactionary old man saying, well, I am an old man, but not a reactionary. That, oh, the good old days were better. No, today is better. And I'm not questioning that. But we need to rethink the set of controls that came with ownership, with custody, with having everything under our own organizational control. And I think that that set of controls and safeguards are evolving, but they're evolving one glitch at a time, as organizations learn their lessons.
So some of our listeners might be thinking that this isn't really relevant to them because their organization has a lot of applications running in their own data center. How do you respond to that?
Number one, if that's what you think, wake up and smell the coffee. It's changing every day. Everything is moving out. Second of all, and I think more to the point, is if it's not that way today, it will be tomorrow. So now is the time to, as I say, reconsider the set of internal controls, or internal and external controls, that an organization wants to have and get there now before it's too late. COBIT, which is the guideline, if you will, for what organizations should expect as a set of control, is evolving as recently as this year. And the control objectives that are stated in there haven't really changed. The objectives are the same, but the means of achieving them are going to have to be different.
And what would you say to somebody who says that the colo or cloud service provider does a better job at security and control than their organization could?
But nobody's just using one. As I said, you may have a primary cloud provider, and that's where a lot of your own internally developed applications go. or even purchased applications. That's where they go. But then you'll have another one for payroll and another one for accounts payable and another one for human resources and still another one for customer resource management and. Are they all at the same level of security? Are they all at the same level of control? Are they all managing risk the same way to your specifications, to some level that you would consider satisfactory? Was that an acquisition decision made prior to signing the contract? Or are you now fighting an uphill battle after the contract is already in place? That's my point. It's not that there isn't plenty of potential for things to be better, but it requires management. It requires security. It requires risk management. It requires all of the practices that we have put in place over a long period of time. I mean, I can remember, it has to be 9 years ago, saying by the middle of the decade, the cloud will be ready. Cloud was going to become a reality. And I was right. In 2015, if you look at it, that's when things really took off. Okay. Did we use that time wisely? Did we think it through wisely and anticipate what we were going to get? I'm sorry. No, probably not. Very few did. We're learning it as we go, which is, hey, let's be honest, not that unusual in the history of IT, but maybe we could learn to do it better this time. Maybe we can think about where our systems will be in 2024. And try to build things in now that will give us the level of control we want, the level of security we want, a level of risk that we're comfortable with. It's up to us, folks. If the ISACA membership doesn't get it, nobody gets it.
So what steps can organizations take now to begin preparing for 2024, maybe even looking ahead 2034?
Well, I'm not even going to answer 2034. That's so far off in the future, we don't have any idea what kind of technology we're going to be using. But there are people who are planning acquisitions, strategic acquisitions over the next 4 to 5 years. There are companies, vendors that are saying, this is what we will promise you to be doing strategically with the products you're buying over the next 5 years. Work with them and anticipate what it is that you need to do in order to continue or perhaps achieve a level of security, a level of control, a level of managed risk that the company is comfortable with. Keep in mind that this is not like somebody flipping a switch and saying, oh, okay, it's 2020. We're all in the cloud now. I've got too many clients that are still running major applications, core applications of the business on mainframes. And those mainframes have been there since the 80s, and they're basically doing the same business and doing it the same way. It's not going to all happen at once, but it is going to happen.
And is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners?
I think personally, it is the great challenge that's facing us as we move into the next decade. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we have to turn our attention to. There are others. I mean, I'm also very concerned with privacy these days. I'm also very concerned with risk management and some of the fallacies of the way we do risk management. But this is one that requires a lot more thought, a lot more research, a lot more attention. And I'm going to be writing about it in the pages of ISACA, ISACA Journal, that is, as long as they'll have me.
Thanks, Steve. And that's all we have time for in this episode of the podcast. But if you're interested in learning more, read Steve Ross's ISACA Journal Volume 4 column, Someone Else. And if you're interested in continuing to hear Steve's bi-monthly podcast episodes, be sure to subscribe to the ISACA podcast and leave us a rating wherever you like to listen to podcasts.